If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable blade knives, fixed blade knives, and game processing kits. Now, we've all been there before, trying to field dress your wild game with a dull knife. This is where Outdoor Edge really steps in. With the Razor Safe system, you can have a brand new razor sharp blade with just the push of a button. No more dull blades and no more problems processing your wild game. To check out all of the products from Outdoor Edge, visit OutdoorEdge.com. And at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30, that's NATION30, for 30% off of your purchase. Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're going to be giving a smaller company an opportunity to shine here. I know that in the past, we always talk about the big brands, right? The companies with the huge budgets, the companies that are out on social media a lot. But I'll tell you this, the hunting industry is comprised of more than just the big brands. There are a ton of mom and pop shops that are that make up this this market, the hunting industry, the hunting community, and I feel it's only right to give them an opportunity at some airtime on this show and expose you, the listener, to these other brands that may go unnoticed if it wasn't for guys like me, you know, spreading the word about them. So, and the thing about this, though, is it sounds like this brand has been around for a while. maybe called it quits for a little bit, had some little changes, and then came out again. But it may seem like a small or new company, but it has decades of experience behind the brand and the products that they're selling. And that product line is called Camp Town Gear, or Camp Town Camo, or however you want to say it. CampTownGear.com is their website. And they don't make a ton of products. Right now, they make four. They make bibs, hunting bibs, a hunting jacket, and a pair of hunting pants, and a hunting shirt. And that's really it. And today, we're going to be talking with Mike Rosenfield. He is the founder of Camp Town. He's also the manufacturer himself. So this is a line that is manufactured in America. It is 100% made in America, and he's a one-man crew. He does all of it himself. And we talk about company history today. We talk about why certain products in his product lines, you know, diving in deep to the product, the material he uses, the design, all that stuff, and why he feels that his product line can compete with any other camouflage or hunting gear on the market. It's a really awesome episode, and I love giving the smaller companies a shot to shine. So enjoy that. But before we get into today's episode, I'm going to run through some commercials real quick. TheAverageConservationist.com is an apparel line, a lifestyle brand. Badass hooded sweatshirts, badass t-shirts, awesome hats. Love their logo wear. T-shirts are very comfortable. And I know the owner, Marcus, has a podcast on the Sportsman's Nation Network here as well, The Average Conservationist, where he's basically putting out a podcast about conservation. And I think this is it's one of those things where conservation doesn't get talked about enough because it's not cool, it's not sexy, it's not the most important. It doesn't get the clicks and the likes and all that stuff, but it's very important. Marcus and the Average Conservationist are doing a really good job at spreading that message, not only through their podcast but through their apparel line as well, The Average Conservationist. And what makes this product line so awesome is that 10% of all of the profits that the Average Conservationist makes goes to a conservation effort right off the top. They don't pocket that at all. It goes to a conservation effort, and it helps support a local, a state, or a national effort. And that is something that he is dedicated to. And a lot of other companies, in my opinion, should be doing this. So if you're looking for a badass hoodie, hat, or t-shirt, awesome logo, sweet design, check out theaverageconservationist.com. And lastly here, we have Hunt Stand. Hunt Stand is, before I get into Hunt Stand, more information coming on Lone Wolf. A lot of you guys have been asking me about Lone Wolf. A lot. There's going to be some changes and some updates. I will have more information coming your way about that. And then lastly is Hunt Stand. So the season for me is winding down, but that doesn't mean that I'm not already planning and prepping and getting I'm always thinking about what's next, whether that's next season, whether that's turkey season, whether, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things going on here. But what I'm going to say is that if you're looking for one of the best hunting apps available, you need to go check out huntstand.com, read up on all of the functionality, all of the robust features about the app. I mean, it has so many features, right? I could sit here and, you know, list out bullet points like property boundaries, property owners, satellite imagery, updated satellite imagery on a monthly basis. Just like a whole bunch of really cool things that are going on with that. Huntstand.com. And it is also the most affordable, right? It's the most affordable with the most features, and that's why it's the most popular. So huntstand.com. And if you haven't had the opportunity to go check that out, I do have a discount code. Again, I'm unorganized here. Where's it at? I got it right here. Discount code for Hunt Stand is SN20, and that's going to save you 20% off of your purchase. And then The Average Conservationist is NFC10, and that's going to get you 10% off of that purchase. So there's that. Let's get into today's episode with Mike Rosenfield of Camp Town Camo. All right, on the phone with me today, Mr. Mike Rosenfield from Camp Town Gear. Mike, man, how are we doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. So you reached out to me through Instagram, and we connected there. And I like to pride myself on the Hunting Gear podcast, not only getting the big brands that everybody knows and loves, but the smaller guys an opportunity as well. And you're a fairly new company, but you're not new to the experience side of things when it comes to, you know, being a clothing manufacturer. Let's talk a little bit about your background and history with, the clothing industry.
All right, well, I'm actually third generation clothing manufacturer. My grandfather started in 1920, built a plant in Greenfield, Indiana. My father ran it for years and then started his own in Clanton, Alabama back in 1963, where we moved the whole family down there and also grew up hunting and fishing down there. So I took over the business in about 87, and it was a good business. We were dealing with the mass merchants, but after NAFTA passed, everything changed. So we finally had to shut down and then opened up a year later and started working with camouflage fleece in particular. We got licensed with both Realtree and Mossy Oak, and we're making basic fleece garments, pants, vests, jackets.
Yeah. Okay. So you grew up in the South, and you were into hunting and fishing, which kind of seems like a, you know, if you're a clothing manufacturer, you know, an obvious transition into the world of camo and this fleece. So talk to us a little bit about why you decided to go into the camouflage clothing market, you know, as opposed to other directions.
All right, well, at the time, no-pill polyester fleece was becoming to be a big fabric, and still is today for bow hunters especially. And we kind of jumped on the bandwagon. And then my daughter was born, first marriage, and we immediately started making baby wear for her. I made the infant coveralls and infant toddler stuff. And when we joined with the SHOT Show, we started selling retailers, including Academy Sport and a lot of the small chains, a lot of the fleece products. But in the meantime, we started playing around with laminating fabric to make it waterproof. And a few other companies were, but the consensus was it was too thick and not workable, and the majority of it is. But we managed to figure out a way of making waterproof fleece and started making jackets and bibs out of that. The trouble is, at the SHOT Show the next year, even though it counts like this stuff, we were only licensed to do fleece for adults and children, and the waterproof fleece is a whole other category that, if they license that, they want a big company, a worldwide distributor, because they make their money, you know, as a percentage of sales of the cloth. So even though we're doing maybe $250,000 worth of children's clothing a year, Shields and everybody else was carrying it, but it wasn't profitable enough, and I wasn't able to do the waterproof. So I basically called it quits for a while and moved family up to New England, where my wife has family, and brought some good equipment and some of the leftover waterproof fleece and made a living up here. So we went through some hard times, and I ended up working construction, landscaping up here for a number of years, and we're a real cold climate. So I immediately I lived in my coat, and each year made a new one. And the first year I took a leftover coat and cut one down to my daughter, who was six then, and that was her winter coat for those two seasons. And we realized we had a good product with waterproof fleece. It's not only waterproof, but it's breathable, it's quiet, and it dries quickly, and it's very durable. So I've really been pilling around for the last several years up here raising a family, and then I was able to get licensed with Realtree about 3 years ago to waterproof fleece with them, and I ran a batch. And I currently have been selling at hunt shows, in particular the Springfield, Massachusetts one in February, where I fit people one at a time. You know, people right. come in looking for some good stuff. And since I make the bibs in 5 different lengths. I really can fit just about anybody. But so time is on my side since I'm retired. I'm 68 years old, and I really am just trying to make a perfect garment and make the best jacket and bib set out there, along with I make a basic fleece top and waiter pant and a few accessories. We really don't go into T-shirts or hats and any other stuff. We're really trying to make a good product and stand behind it.
Yeah. All right. So what led you to your current lineup? All right. You have the water. Well, let me back up a bit. What is it about the actual fabric or the cloth that you guys are using that you feel makes it, I don't know, superior or beneficial for a hunter to have while out in the field?
All right, well, you know, if it's warm weather hunting, there's so much out there and anything will work. It's not until you deal with cold weather or rain or snow that you need something that performs.
Right.
And the fact that our fabric is a laminate, it ends up being a single fabric, which is generally more like lighter weight coats. But ours, especially because of the fleece in the inside, it's warmer than anything that I've been able to compare it to out there. I'm not sure how it happens, but it's kind of like a wetsuit. And once you close yourself up, zip it up and tight, you retain the heat. Even though it's a breathable barrier, you can stay warm by keeping it zipped and neck warmers, et cetera. But I guess the fabric, because it doesn't hold moisture, if you water comes in, it goes right away. If you hang the thing up after being in the wet all day, hanging in the basement, it's dry the next morning. And I guess the fabric becomes durable, because even though both pieces of fleece on the exterior and on the interior are stretchable along with the barrier, it will stretch instead of give way when it's put under demand. So I just find if I had one thing to wear in the winter, it would be this coat and this bibs, and I could survive in it, whether I had to live outside. If you're hunting out west on a trip and you fall in the creek and you're wet and other stuff, you may not get it dry. But our stuff, even around a campfire or anything, it just water repels out of it so fast. So it makes it much more comfortable for the long run.
Yeah. So typically when you say the word waterproofing, like for me, and I know a lot of technology has changed when it comes to breathable fabric, but when you say waterproofing, I don't think breathable, meaning the moisture is going to, my sweat and heat is going to stay in and potentially cause me to get cold when I go and sit in my tree stand because of that moisture's not moving. Is that the case with this waterproof fleece?
No, you can overheat. If you have to unzip if you're really going in the woods wearing the bibs and it's not too cold. But some people actually pack it in and put it on before they get in the tree stand. But in general conditions, if you're out there and especially sitting a long time in a stand, even if you get snow down the back of your neck, the hood's not on, it kind of gets warm like a wetsuit rather than a cold chill. And it's, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things where you sweat, it doesn't leave your body. Cause I remember back in the day before all this fancy, technology, I was wearing cotton everything. Right. So I would get sweaty. The cotton would absorb all of my sweat and then I'd sit there and I'd just shiver for 4 hours. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this has a little, this is better as far as breathability compared to, let's say, a cotton.
Oh yes, and the barrier from ArgoFlex is the highest quality barrier out there. You know, they make other barriers that are fire retardant and others, but they're a worldwide company. And having the breathability and the stretch, you can't buy a cheap barrier. They don't make anything. So, so it ends up making a fabric that, like I said, is breathable, but you're going to stay warm regardless and comfortable in it through any weather.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm looking at your guys' website, and you have the waterproof fleece, the waterproof or the bib, the jacket, the fleece wader pants, and the long sleeve fleece shirt. Are all of these products designed for, let's say, cold weather deer hunting specifically, or can they be used in warm weather or hot weather or mild temps as well?
No, I'll tell you, the fleece long sleeve crew is just a simple shirt that I wear one every day in the winter over a t-shirt. It's a nice warm thing, or after a long day out and by the fire, they're just warm. And the wader pants are good also. They're both considered second layer, whereas if it's really cold, we'll have our neck to skin, whatever your long underwear is. There's a lot of good quality manufacturers out there. But then I suggest my wader pant and fleece shirt over it, and then the coat over that, you're good to go down to almost the teens. If you're going to really get into cold weather and wind, then one of those thin down parkas like all companies make slide really nice under our coats. There's enough room for it without bulking. And then to me, it's unlimited. I guess I've tested it in down to negative 10 degrees on a snowmobile for a couple, 3 hours and good to go. And but if it's 50 degrees or warmer, there's plenty of other stuff that's better. Mine's really designed cold. And one other thing about the fabric, you hear people talk about once it gets way below zero, fabrics get hard and crinkly, but fleece still performs. It's soft, natural. If snow sticks on it, you just shake it off before you go in. But you'll be a lot more comfortable than any other fabric out there.
Okay, so on the bib and the hooded jacket in particular, is there a fill in between the layers to help with the insulation, or is it just a thicker fabric?
It's just a thicker fabric that acts as a shell, and the insulation you wear underneath, as I described, whether the long johns and the fleece shirt or even the coat. But you won't need more than three layers, and you'll be good to go. If that answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about the fleece wader pants. Is this a true wading pants, like as far as duck hunters or crossing a creek and not getting wet is concerned?
Yeah, I tell you, we had experimented in the past with them, and there's a lot of different ways to make them, but these have a nice ankle closure with Velcro at the ankle, so you can cinch them tight to go into a boot. They have deep side pockets that are comfortable with two side seam pockets that can hold a billfold or a cell phone. It has a zipper fly, elastic waist with some of the waterproof fabric as a adjustment, so that you can actually make them tight enough to wear as regular pants, but they certainly work perfectly for under the bibs or some other type of weight of waterproof pant.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. What temperatures do you think that this product line performs the best in?
I'll tell you, from 25 degrees down to 10 below, I think you'll find that, a lot of the hunting seasons aren't that cold. I mean, some people get way up north and they may, but our products get used for a lot of other things too. If you're running a boat, cold weather or snowmobiling, the fact that it works as a good shell, it performs. I wanted to mention some of the features on the hood jacket.
Yeah.
We make the hood fit perfectly, so you lose no visibility. I worked a whole season on that with my daughter, who's great at fitting patterns. And while the hood also cinches down so that even if you're running in a boat or snowmobile, that it won't blow off, but it covers your mouth, so you have ideal protection. There's, I think I said, the draw cord in it too to cinch it down. The jacket also has, for the pockets, side pockets. I have Velcro closure so that if you do have to put gloves in there, you can use these simple closures that hide away, and you won't lose your glove like so many people end up having done. We have two outside chest pockets, one on either side that are big, and then two inner pockets that are good for like neck warmers and hats and stuff. There's a hanger on the back to hang it up at night. There's magnetic closures on the hood that is detachable. And it's sewn double stitched everywhere just for maximum performance.
And all of this is made in the United States, correct?
Correct. As a matter of fact, I make them myself right now. I'm a factory of one. Everything is production equipment, but I've been trained in college as a apparel engineer. So I do the pattern work, engineer the sewing, layout, and keep improving it as I see improvements needed. So
Okay. So I have a question for you. With you being a one-man shop, if I call you up and I say, hey, man, and I know this is opening a door for, you know, it sounds like you're making custom orders when you go to a show anyway. If I called you up and I'm, you know, you live in the Northeast and I'm from Iowa here, and I said, hey, man, I want you to cut down the waist a little bit or add some chest or make my sleeves just a hair longer or shorter or whatever. Do you have the ability to customize the garment before you send it to me?
Yes, and that's the beauty. But the trouble is, with the bulk and the freight, you know, just using the mail or UPS, you can spend $50 or $100 in freight just trying to get somebody fitted right. So one of the advantages being at a show and fitting people is once I fit them and find the right jacket and if the sleeve needs to be lengthened or shortened, we make all the notes. I write it down, and then somebody can decide whenever they want it and order it. But otherwise, the chances of fitting somebody the first time means that I'll end up spending, you know, $100 in freight, wasted money, and it's not as feasible. So I'm willing to try that, but like I said, coats are pretty easy to do that. But, you know, if you look at a dozen people that wear extra large bibs and that I've done in the past, you find that four of them will be a 32 inseam, four of them will be a 30 inseam, and maybe another four would be a 28 inseam or even a 26. There's not the normal person out there, but yet the box stores all sell stuff like we're supposed to be perfectly normal.
Right.
So I pride and enjoy fitting people who can't find stuff to fit right out of the box. And it's surprising how many people are out there, you know, but it's hard to do mail order. But hey, somebody give it a shot. I also really try to avoid Christmas sales where the big onslaught, you know, by doing the hunt shows up here in New England, they're all after January. So it's good cold weather where people can try them on. They're thinking about cold weather. And you know, usually if people come on, they don't wait to order, but it's, like I said, I'm happy. I just want to get people fitted in the easiest way.
Right, right. All right. So, you know, obviously a brand, everybody knows Sitka, okay? And right. It's just easy for a reference point. Their incinerator bib is their whitetail line bib. It goes for $650. Obviously, they're not direct to consumer like you are, so you're selling at a lower price. Your product is made in America by you. Would you say that your material and your bib, your bibs or your clothing would compare to something like what they have?
Yeah, I would go right up against them. You know, I've been looking at their stuff and looking, they have their Instagram ads too. And I tried on one of their jackets last year. They make a good product. I've heard different things, but I would put myself up with the best out there and see where I fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, and the, I think your bibs are $300 basically less than what they're selling theirs for. Obviously, they're not direct to consumer. You are direct to consumer. Camptowngear.com is your website. Now, let's say a guy hears this, and you know, direct to consumers have their benefits with the cost savings, but also at the same time, guys love to try on stuff before they buy it. If there's a guy listening to this right now and says, man, you know, I like what this guy has to say, but I'd love to try it on before I make a purchase. What would you say to convince them to go ahead and place an order, get the gear, and then try it on at home?
I'm happy to do it. And there's, the last thing I need is the payment. I'll hold a credit card number or something. But the main thing is getting somebody happy. And, you know, I don't have a profit and loss statement. I have a make people happy. So, if it costs me too much, I can't make somebody happy, then I won't deal with them again. But I just want people to try our garments and see, prove that it is what it is. Or at least I can send some fabric, a nice square chunk of fabric, so somebody can actually see what it is and feel it and wash it 100 times or shoot it with a shotgun or see that it doesn't unravel or how it holds up. I mean, you beat it to death. We stumbled across it, but like I said, it makes a good garment. We try and make the best fit with everything. And I'm still tweaking some improvements, but we've got it so good now. But I'll be honest, I have somebody who bought one of my first bibs almost 20 years ago at a hunt show in Jackson, Mississippi, and he just contacted me. He says he's retired them twice, but he keeps bringing them out, bringing them to seamstress, trying to get them fixed up to hunt with them because they're his favorite bibs.
Yeah.
There's no holes in them, but the elastic 2-inch strap is ripped apart, the buckle's broken, 5 T-style zipper missing. So it's like these are all components I don't have control about, but I told him to send it back after hunting season. I'll fix it up. But I stand behind the product, and I really thought I could make a product that is invincible. But after seeing a few things that have come back and what people can do out there, then I just...
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm one of those guys who I beat the crap out of my equipment, my gear. One question that really popped up into my head right now, as far as durability is concerned, what about burrs and thorns? And I mean, if I was to walk through one of those patches, I think up here we call it, over here we call them beggar's lice, where they just, or I don't know, some people call them flea burrs or something like that. I don't know, but they stick all over your clothing. Do they? Because fleece has an issue with that, right?
Yep, that's a problem. Even with the barrier, those things, and they're pain in the ass to get out. But you're right; they do get in, and if you have to walk through a lot of that to get to your stand, then that's an issue. But thorns or anything sharp, you can wade through as hard as strong as you want. You'll never feel one of the thorns get through the fabric. They're not sharp enough. I've tested them constantly, even going back to Alabama. I have a friend here that hunts every year through brush in Martha's Vineyard, and he purposely wades through, and he used to wear his Grungian bibs, and he ripped holes in them, but ours hold up. So, but the burrs are a problem.
Is there a way that you know of to get them off easily?
No, I'd almost look at some kind of those nylon chaps or something low, something to go over your boots, something to just keep them off. But fleece has a problem with those things, but that's, it's very durable otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about everything here. Do you plan on expanding your product line in the next handful of years to pick up some other garments, or is this about it for you?
Well, it remains to be said. I was really, 3 years ago when I got licensed with Realtree, I was going to expand and do several shows, try and do as many shows as I can in the market with the products I have. Then COVID hit and put it on the back burner. So we're gearing up to do our first show here in February in Massachusetts and then see where it goes from there. But if there's other products that either aren't easy to be found or could be made easily in this country, I will. But like I said, I don't bother with the basic hats and stuff. It's right. really about making just simple fabric, you know, products that work well. And, I mean, if you look at the other lines out there, the competition, there's, I get confused with all the different base layers and the middle layers and the stuff. And then there's the closeouts. It's, I don't plan to change my hood jacket significant or the bibs. You know, it's, they're been tested and they can only be refined and improved. But, I don't plan to, you know, I have played with the pants some, although the fabric's a little heavy to make pants. You kind of need suspenders. So the bibs and the jacket are really the predominant products that I like to make. I just sell the waiter pants and the shirt just to complement it. And see where it goes.
Gotcha. Gotcha. On top of that, then, if there, you know, the guys who are listening to this, they want to go to Camp Town Gear and check out all the product, you know, camptowngear.com is your website. Go there, check it out. But then at the same time, if they're on the fence and they're thinking about picking up a pair, you know, a set of camo from one brand or another, why should they consider Camp Town?
You know, it's a shame we can't all be in the same place and you look and compare them all right there. And then it's pretty easy to tell what you like. If they pick Camp Town, they won't be disappointed because I'll give them their money back if they are. And nobody's ever asked for the money back.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, I tell you what, Mike, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and talk to us about Camp Town. Before we leave, is there anything else you'd like to share with your product or your brand?
No, it's hard to say. I know I'm kind of like the Wizard of Oz. I'm one guy trying to make a bigger image, but it's Instagram has really helped. And the next step, if I get busier, means hiring people, where that's another complication to own. Right now, right. I'm very happy just doing what I'm doing. But I love people to try my stuff, and I welcome any inquiry and any order. And I appreciate the time.
Perfect. Well, Mike, I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks again, Dan.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.